This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. This hour, we'll delve back into the Bears and the Packers game from last night to open up the NFL season. Trubisky looks awful. Rodgers, okay, gets the win no matter what. It's fine as long as you get that road victory in the division, but plenty to work on for both teams. Also, Antonio Brown could be suspended by the Raiders for week number one. All of that coming up this hour on the show. Mraz has got his NFL picks and his food of the week. We're talking college football right now as one of the best matchups of tomorrow is going to happen in Death Valley. Clemson, the defending national champions, take on a very frisky Texas A&M squad. What to expect between the Tigers and the Aggies? Joining us here on the DA Show is our good friend Roddy Jones, analyst for the ACC Network. He's got the call of South Florida and Georgia Tech tomorrow at 2 Eastern on the ACC Network. Roddy, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great, bud. Always good to catch up with you. And when you look at last week's win over Georgia Tech by Clemson, Trevor Lawrence was pretty underwhelming, but didn't need to be great because they ran the football so well. What does it matter at all that Lawrence did not set the world on fire in week number one?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, ultimately, you want to win in week one and you want to get some work in. And I don't think Trevor played terrible. He missed some throws. Had the two interceptions, one of them at the end of the first half. But he did a good job moving. He ran the ball well. And ultimately, that's what you want out of your quarterback. Didn't have a lot of opportunities all in all because they ran the ball so well, because they were so overwhelming. But I think it's fine. I actually think it's probably pretty good for him to hear some criticism after everyone over the course of the offseason has just been praising him as the best thing, you know, we've ever seen in college football. So it's probably good for him to have some motivation coming into this week to continue to get better, continue to grind. Not that it wasn't there, but it never hurts just to have a little bit extra going into a big game like this.
Do you think Kellen Mond, who played well last year in the matchup against Clemson in College Station, can play well on the road this year, well enough to try to get a win?
Yeah, I think he'll play well. I mean, Kellen Mond's a really good player. The thing is, neither one of these teams are really tested in week one. So there's a lot of questions all around. You know, Clemson, if you're looking at that secondary, they weren't really tested against a Georgia Tech team without that top-end talent that Texas A&M is going to have at receiver. When you look at this Texas A&M offensive line, they weren't really tested against Texas State to see what their offensive line is going to be. I mean, we think it's going to be pretty good, but until you face guys with the talent of this Clemson defensive line, you just don't know. So it's going to be about more than just Kellen Mond. But I think he's going to play well. Look, the dude's a baller. He plays well in big situations. The issue is the guy on the other side, Trevor Lawrence, is a baller too. And in big situations, he's come up huge for this Clemson team.
What do we take away from last year's performance between these two clubs? It was an entertaining game. Two quarterbacks going at it, and yet here we find ourselves with a pretty big spread. Last year was 28-26, advantage Clemson, but now moving forward, do we think we can take anything away from last year's matchup into this year?
Well, this Clemson team, especially on offense, was a different, well, I guess on both sides of the ball, but was a completely different team. I mean, Trevor Lawrence barely played in this game. Justin Ross played one snap. Travis Etienne had eight carries. And I can promise you that each one of those guys is going to play a significant amount more in this game. And those are the three, probably the three best players on this offense. You know, the only one that you would say played a lot was T. Higgins. And when you have to take away one guy and it's T. Higgins at the top, then that's one thing. But when you've got T. Higgins and DeAndre Overton and Justin Ross and Travis Etienne and Trevor Lawrence, that's completely different. So I'm not surprised to see the spread open up as much as it has. Clemson's at home. They're completely different, more explosive offense than they were a year ago with Kelly Bryant at quarterback. And defensively, they're completely different as well. Obviously, that defensive line is gone. I was actually pretty impressed by the Clemson linebackers. And with the exception of the long pass given up to the end, which happened against a starting safety in Kayvon Wallace, I was impressed with the secondary as well. I think Tanner Muse played well. I think the corners played well. So, against what they played against, I was very impressed by Clemson. So I'm not really surprised to see that spread open up. And it's just because we know these guys. We've seen them against Alabama, which is the class of that conference and really the class of college football for much of the last decade. We've seen what they can do, and they were fantastic. So because they're at home, because they're going to have that energy, I would anticipate Clemson pulls away at the end and wins the football game as well.
Roddy Jones, ACC Network analyst, joins us in advance of this big one, A&M and Clemson. But let's look at elsewhere in the ACC. Last week, Boise State comes into Tallahassee and pushes around Florida State in the second half, shuts them out in their own building, walks out with a business victory. And so now a lot of questions surrounding the Seminoles. They'll take on Louisiana Monroe, a chance to get right this weekend. They're favored by more than 20 points, more than three touchdowns. But how concerning was last week for Florida State?
Last week is only concerning if next week doesn't go well. So next week, Florida State's at the University of Virginia, who had a big win at Pittsburgh last week. And if Florida State starts 1-2, there's going to be cause for concern. There's going to be a lot of anxious people around Tallahassee if this program is 1-2 after three games. So I always took the approach that you got to have two of the first three. The most likely to me were Boise and ULM. Now that you've lost to Boise, I don't see how this Florida State team is going to be able to rebound if they are 1-2 after the University of Virginia next week. So I'd expect them to look good. I don't think it'll be much of a challenge this week, but next week at Virginia is the one I've got circled as the one Florida State fans should really start to evaluate their team after.
I want to talk to you about Willie Taggart because I actually like Willie. We've had him on the show before. What he did before he got to Oregon was all super impressive. But when he pointed at dehydration this past week after the loss to Boise State and then tried to backtrack and say, well, I wasn't talking about the Boise State game. I was talking about going forward. To me, I didn't buy it. It sounded, to me, lame because if you listen back to his quotes, he was specifically talking about the Boise State game. What do you think? Was it much ado about nothing for the media and fans about the dehydration bit, or was there something there that showed that Taggart might be in over his head?
Well, I think when you look at the context of all the comments from the week, it is concerning because initially you had the two comments about them not bringing pressure on Hank Bachmeier. He had the comment that basically said, you know, when we brought pressure, we were really good. We didn't bring enough pressure, especially in the second half. And that seemed to me to be a little shot at Harlan Barnett, the defensive coordinator, because Willie's obviously not calling the defense. So who is he talking to there? And then there was the comment about not running the ball enough in the second half, not giving the ball to those two really talented running backs. And I think me, along with everybody who covers Florida State that I've talked to, saw those as maybe not shots, but pointed comments towards the coordinators. So if you take the pointed comments at the coordinators and then combine them with the comments about hydration, there's at least a lack of awareness of how the media is going to perceive those comments, and which is concerning when you're at a place like Florida State. Look, this is the biggest job that Willie Taggart has had. Oregon is a really good job. It's not a blue blood on the level of Florida State. And it's not in the region of the country that is football crazed like Florida State is. I mean, everything you say at Florida State is going to be taken by these writers and the people that talk about it in the media in the Southeast and analyzed. Whereas at University of Oregon, maybe you can get away with that stuff a little bit more. I don't know. I've never lived in the Pacific Northwest, but I would assume that people in Portland don't care a ton about what the head coach of the University of Oregon is, the sidewalk fan. But people really care in Atlanta, in Miami, in all the major markets, what the head coach of Florida State says when you drop a game to Boise State where your team just looks gassed, is cramping on the sidelines, and you played 108 plays over the course of the game on defense. People are going to really care about that. So if nothing else, it shows a lack of awareness on how his comments are going to be perceived by Willie Taggart, which to me is a little concerned.
Roddy Jones, ACC Network analyst, joins us this morning on the show. Finally, Mack Brown and UNC gets a pretty big victory over South Carolina, in-state rival in week number one. And now they'll try to follow that up coming up tomorrow against Miami at night, which is a tough one for them. But what do you think Mack Brown brings to that program already paying dividends?
Well, I think he's brought a certain swagger that you didn't see a year ago. And you see how much it means to him. I mean, this means a lot to Mack Brown. He is there to turn North Carolina into what they were the first time he was there, which is the top five program by the time he left. And so the trials and tribulations that these guys went through really meant a lot to him to see them get that win. So I think Mack Brown has brought a confidence. I think he's brought a lot of credibility to that program. I think the guys have really bought into what he's selling. And when you get a win like that, it really helps guys say, okay, what we're doing is right. It gives you that confidence to allow you to take on a Miami team, which I think is a better football team. Obviously, they lose a week ago, but Sam Howell is going to face a defense unlike the defense he saw last week that is really, really good. I mean, that South Carolina defense is talented in some spots, but this Miami defense is elite. And we saw him against University of Florida really stymie a veteran quarterback in Felipe Franks. So it's going to be a test for Sam Howell, but Mack Brown brings a confidence to this team, which we really haven't seen. Honestly, we really didn't see it that much under Larry Fedora. It was a little bit different. It was very offense heavy, but this team looks balanced, and it looks like a team that believes that it can win.
Roddy Jones, our friend here from the ACC Network, he's got the call tomorrow as Georgia Tech takes on USF tomorrow at 2 o'clock. It's going to be 2 o'clock Eastern time on ACC Network, the new ACC Network available so many different places. So make sure your cable provider has it for this college football season. 2 p.m. Eastern time, ACC Network, South Florida, Georgia Tech, Roddy Jones on the call. It's always good to catch up, my man. Thank you so much for doing it. We'll do it again here soon, I bet.
Always great. Appreciate you having me on.
You got it. Roddy Jones, our guest this morning here on the show. When we come back, NFL picks. Mraz with his up-the-gut debut for 2019 and his first football food of the week. We'll also look at last night's Packers 10-3 snooze fest win over the Bears. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.